Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, we see what Transformers Earthrise RC looks like in hand. Great Scott, who cares? This new Transformers Back to the Future figure makes its first appearance, and Flame Toys brings us a transparent Optimus Prime. So much for hiding away the matrix of leadership. Today is Wednesday, July 8th, 2020, and this is episode 389 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that just learned that Rumble has declared his candidacy for ruler of Cybertron. Plus, he just dropped a new single. Check it out. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
Scott, the illustrious Dr. Pants.
Howdy, everyone.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hello. Let's talk Transformers. I always want to think of something funny to say, and I can never do it.
You'll get them next time, Daryl. Don't worry.
I sound like such a tool.
That's why we love you. You make the rest of us look good.
Thanks. Thanks, friend.
All right. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Without your support, this would not be possible. And we have a special occasion because we have new Donatrions this week.
What?
Ring the bells. Yes. So first one is friend of the show, Sledge. He's been a Donatron for a while, but he bumped up his pledge this week. Sledge, thank you so much for sticking with us. And now, increasing your support. We really appreciate it. And we welcome our brand new Donatrion, Christopher, coming in strong as a duly appointed supporter of the Transmissions Podcast. Thank you, Christopher. You're awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
What is this I hear?
Oh, no.
New members of Donatrion? More people giving money? It makes me so happy.
That's what we're all here for, Russian Yoshi. To make you happy.
Oh, it warms my Siberian heart. It's so chilled. And you chip away with your donations. Chip. I almost feel a beat.
Is your heart going to grow three sizes this winter?
No. No growing of heart. It just thaw a little bit. Do not threaten my heart. It will always stay cold. Siberian forever.
Okay.
I am so happy I was here for that.
If you are not able to become a Donatron, we still love you and thank you for listening to the show. Another way to help out would be to buy some of our merchandise at our T Public store, and that is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can also check out our friend K-Girl store. She's an awesome artist, and her store is at tpublic.com/user/superstarK. We've got lots of shirt designs. We've also got masks, and those will probably be useful for quite a while now, especially if you're in the U.S.
They're very comfortable.
Really. Yes. They do not obstruct breathing in any way. They actually are very comfortable, very easy to wear. And if you help us out, anything you buy from our T-Public store helps out the show. And even if you don't buy something from our store, but if you buy anything from T-Public, just use our link and that helps us out.
And fun fact, these masks can also double as bathing suits if you're Charles. Very small.
Wow, that was uncalled for.
I don't know why, but you sent me a picture this past week where you were celebrating, and you appeared to be wearing a mask.
I think Daryl
in your lower
Daryl's half. Daryl's on drugs here. He went from the hard liquor. He's hitting the LED or LCD LSD LSD. That's what it is. I don't know. You should not snort an LCD. That's probably a bad idea.
I think Daryl remembered that Mike isn't editing this week, so he's trying to make it harder for the rest of us.
Oh, I had not remembered that. But thank you.
I had not remembered that either. Now I'm in pain.
I didn't even know.
Anyway, yeah. Merch from Tee Public Store. Transmissionspodcast.com/shop. Another thing, we've got Empire of Rust episode 27 that is out this week. This marks the 1 year anniversary of Empire of Rust. It started Monday, July 8th of 2019, and now this episode came out Monday, July 6th. So more or less a year, the same week this last year. So check that out, transmissionspodcast.com/rust. You should already have it in your feed if you're listening to the all shows feed. And last little bit, we've got a little tease. We're soliciting some questions from anyone who's interested in the Transformers Robots in Disguise comic from 2012. This was the one mostly written and drawn by John Barber and Andrew Griffith, with colors by Josh Perez, and then various fill-in artists like Livio Remendelli, from time to time. But this was one of the high water marks of the IDW Transformers run from the last 10 years or so. And did you have any questions about the series? So we might be talking to the creators behind that series, and they were wondering if there were any listener questions who remember that series fondly and had any lingering questions about anything from that series and the creative process behind it, any questions about some of the characters and the plots or anything like that. So send them all to feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. And be on the lookout for,
we'll take those too.
Yes. So just go to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback and pick a method to send us some information, voicemails, emails, anything else. And stay tuned. All right, let's start the show off and talk about some toys.
All right, first up this week, just got a couple in-hand images from Takara Tomy with regards to their Earthrise figures. So they are showing off pictures of their Earthrise RC and Earthrise Trailbreaker, and they look pretty good. Pretty similar to the Hasbro release. Seems to be a continuation of the last few lines, where Hasbro and Takara releases are essentially identical, and not a big difference, so that's good, I guess. I don't know. There seem to be a lot of people that really did dig the better paint schemes that Takara used to give their figures. I know that I benefited from getting a couple of them a couple times just because, they looked a little better. And if you look back on some of the old generations figures and you look up the Takara versions and the Hasbro versions side by side, you can definitely see that there's a big difference, especially if you're kind of new to the collecting game and weren't really aware that Takara put out better paint versions of the same characters. So, yeah, so RC and Trailbreaker, no real difference. Looks essentially the same. The pictures that we have with RC here do appear to show her with the Cyberverse Deluxe RC as well. So that looks to be pretty cool. Yeah, so neato. Also, we have pictures of Takara's Studio Series 53 Bumblebee movie Cliff Jumper and Studio Series 54 Overload stock images. So a couple of red bots here, Cliff Jumper and Overload. A couple figures that are pretty cool. Cliff Jumper really does have a very Cybertronian alt mode, and we've talked about this before. His robot mode does not appear to be able to be bisected, but that's okay. I'm sure you can take care of that on your own if you so choose to customize them that way. Overload seems to be the one that I personally am after because he is the one that I'm picking up to finish off my 2 Series Devastator, although I'll probably just get the Hasbro version when it comes to North America, or I guess when it shows up in my area. I guess it's already starting to hit. But yeah, these all look very similar, very identical to the North American versions. I'll open it up to the floor here, guys. Dr. Pants, what do you think when you're looking at these figures here? Is there anything really that, you know, makes them look, or is anything appealing about the Takara versions over the Hasbro versions? Anything that kind of stands out to the about the figures for you? And lastly, are you interested in any of these figures just outright?
So I actually didn't realize after I brought up the link that it was a Takara version looking at the pictures until you brought it up, because they look identical to the Hasbro versions. So they don't really look any different to me, but that's okay. I am also getting Overload because I'm trying to complete the Studio Series Devastator. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. The Cliff Jumper, I'm not getting every Studio Series, so I'll probably pass on that. I will say Trailbreaker looks really, really good. His robot mode looks super clean and looks great compared to like the old show. It looks like it fits in really well, and that alt mode looks really clean and nice. I don't know if I'll pick it up or not. I'm not a big Trailbreaker fan, but it's a cool looking figure. I gotta say, the Earthrise RC, I was really pumped when they announced it, but as we get closer to the release, like, the more pictures I see, I'm a little disappointed. I wish it had more paint apps on it. It looks kind of plain, particularly the face. I wish they had either painted the lips or added some detail or something. It looks just too plain for me. But I will say that looking at the RC figure, I'm kind of happy that in some of the pictures, like looking at the legs and whatnot, it doesn't look as gappy as a lot of the Earthrise figures. Not as hollow. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. And she looks super poseable. But I don't know if I'll pick this up. I have the old generations one, so I might just hang on to that. But yeah.
Right on. Jeremy, what do you think of Cliff Jumper here? Is this you know, enough of a Cybertronian mode or G1ified movie character for you?
I mean, no. But I mean, I like it. I really like the alt mode. It's very futuristic Cybertronian car. It could use some paint apps, just something. It's just a very much just a red little sliver of plastic, I think. The Overload doesn't really do anything for me. I'm not collecting the Studio Series Devastator, so, you know.
Yeah, and that's understandable.
I will say that I was one that would often go for the Takara versions of a lot of the figures, and yeah, now that they're identical, there's no reason.
Right.
The Earthrise RC looks good, but I think I'm still happy with my Generations RC. I don't really see anything here that would kind of make me jump on getting this version of the character, especially the backpack. I mean, they're hiding it in the pictures as well as they can, but the backpack is huge.
Humongous.
And that's just, I mean, like, traditionally characters with small feet like RC are hard to pose standing up without help. and mm-hmm. just having the backpack is just, you know, the center of a balance or center of gravity for that figure is going to be, you know, you're gonna have to work to find it. And I have a feeling that figure would be one that would, like, any little bump, it would make it fall over. But the Trailbreaker, I do like. It's something I might pick up. I have, I think it was the Generations one. And I thought that was yep. a good one, too. But this one just, it really just screams G1 to me with modern engineering. I really like the look of it, like yeah. the head sculpt. So, yeah, I'm really happy with that one.
Now, did you get the hoist?
The new one? No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
So, I mean, I figure it's the same mold.
It's. It is. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I just have more of a connection with Trailbreaker than hoist.
Cool. No, that's cool. All right. And Charles, I understand that you are a big fan of pink robots. And that I don't understand, you know, to each his own, really.
What's wrong with pink?
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing's wrong with pink. It's very rare in Transformers anyway. So, you know, your collection might be very sparse when it comes to pink, your pink robots, but here is one here that's coming out paired with a second. So, I mean, are you ready to add two more pink robots to your collection?
Maybe. I see with the Earthrise RC, is that backpack is also the surfboard, right? That's the one like in all the other images, she's just like, it's removable and she just stands on it, right? Isn't that?
Yeah.
So now they're, yep. so that's interesting that the Takara, you know, people are posing her like this. So yeah, I mean, I still am a little bit disappointed with that design choice, but I actually think the Cyberverse RC looks really good. I might pick that one up just to, you know, because it's different and it, you know, and I like the version of RC from Cyberverse too. I thought she was really well done.
Yeah, they did a great job with Cyberverse RC.
Yeah. But yeah, I do agree with what Jeremy or Dr. Pants who said the face was kind of plain on Earthrise RC and not a lot of paint apps. Dr.
Pants.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's kind of disappointing. Trailbreaker looks good, although I'm not the biggest Trailbreaker fan, so I will probably pass on that. But it does look very G1-y and very mm-hmm. nice. I hope you can make his gun, like his hand can retract and just have a gun arm like the show.
Right.
They don't show that here, but I imagine it. You can do that since probably Hoist could do that, I think.
It looks like the gun kind of slips over his hand.
I was going to say, I have the Hoist figure and he comes with the gun and it just, he holds it like a regular gun, but it covers the whole thing. So it looks like the gun arm.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's a nitpick though. the Cliff Jumper, the Studio Series Cliff Jumper. When we first saw this figure, I thought it was just a remold of Bumblebee, but clearly it is not. It reminds me more of the War for the video game War for Cybertron, Bumblebee and Cliff Jumper.
Yeah, the Jazz. It kind of looks like that Jazz figure.
Oh, okay, yeah,
from that game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I mean, so that
I was looking at that too.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. I mean, it's not something I collect, but it. I mean, I like it better than the standard movieverse figures. I think this is, you know, this aesthetic is more pleasing to me than the Bayverse movie figures. And mm-hmm. Devastator, I'm not collecting the Devastator figure, so. I'd see it's another one for you, Daryl, but you're getting the North American ones anyway, so you're not getting the Takara versions. So
yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it's a four-armed monster. Okay.
I do like the option though. Like, I mean, the majority of Transformers have always been humanoid, you know, mm-hmm. bipedal looking robots. what's to say they can't have four arms and two legs, right? You know, and this figure is humongous. It's a big, I think the robot mode is almost secondary to its ability to be like the crotch piece of Devastator, right? So they kind of had to just build a robot mode after, you know, the utilitarian piece of it being the piece of Devastator. They just said, okay, well, this is what it needs to be. First and foremost, it needs to become this truck thing, but now let's make a robot mode out of it. And sure, it has four arms. Awesome. It doesn't need to have two arms and two legs like everything else. It could have eight legs and whatever, right? I like the idea that it doesn't have to conform to any kind of, you know, set standard of robots.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. I mean, I have absolutely no issue with that. But yeah, the movie aesthetic is still not my cup of tea. So that's still it's still a pass for me.
He does fit in with the rest of the Constructicons who are all weird and not necessarily have two legs or two arms.
Yeah,
that's right. Cool. Well, that's what I brought to the show this week. Jeremy, what have you brought?
Well, Charles already had picked something, and he obviously missed this statue topic, so I picked it up. YoloPart has revealed information on their officially licensed Bumblebee movie Optimus Prime statue. This will stand 32 centimeters tall, and they're using a gear system instead of ratchet joints for a total of 333 points of articulation.
Ooh.
So that is going to be very poseable. The cost, though, the standard version pre-order is $2,199 US, limited to 2,000 pieces. If you'd like to do that, there's a non-refundable deposit of $300. There's a deluxe version that is $2,599. This has a limit of 500 pieces and deposit of $350. And the early pre-orders also get a bonus globe 3D hologram that was seen in the Bumblebee movie. And you get a $200 rebate. So you pre-order it and you know, you have to put down $300 or $350 for the deposit. But you'll get $200 rebate. But still, I mean, this is diecast. It's metal. If you are into the statues and stuff, this is like the masterpiece of the statues, it seems like.
32 centimeters is about 12 and a half inches tall.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
for all you Neanderthals.
Yeah, but I will say, like, the looks, I think we might have seen it before, but the images that they have here are pretty impressive. It's just like his bust, but 333 points of articulation, that is really, you know, I can't even really fathom, you know, how they get to that number. But Daryl, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, the amounts of articulation is absolute insanity. Yeah, it's just crazy. I'm looking here at the pictures and it says it's 24 inches tall or 62 centimeters.
Oh, I just saw that too.
Oh, well, we'll put that down to DFW 2005.
Somebody's lying. Anyway, okay. It looks
so 2 feet tall.
Like awesome. Like it really does. That's impressive, really. Like I remember buying a Spider-Man action figure and it was like 21 points of articulation, the most you're ever going to find in a 3¾-inch figure. And I'm like, all right, cool. 333 points of articulation is insanity. Insanity. Like every single part of this thing must move. And I'm assuming with this gear mechanism they're talking about, it's things are moving in conjunction with each other, right? So if you're, you know, moving an arm, like there's pistons and gears and stuff that are moving on the inside of the shoulder. I want to see this thing in action. You know, there's no way in hell I could afford this. Right. But I want to see it. I want to see it move.
Yeah. And they describe the gear system as their internal interconnect endoskeleton system, or IIES. And yeah, I would imagine it's just like a piece will move another piece. And, you know, I'm just wondering if that's included in the count. Like, if you just have an internal gear moving, does that count as articulation?
I would assume so. That's probably the only way I can even fathom they get to 333. Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Pants, are you a doctor of statues?
No. My robots almost always have to transform, and even if I wanted to buy it, there's no way I could drop that kind of price. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely nuts. I mean, it does look really, really cool. I mean, 2 feet tall with that much articulation, it's going to be a really impressive piece, but no, $2,200. No, that piece would cause my divorce.
Yeah, I think you had said previously, like, your wife will, like, go and FaceTime you from the toy aisle, and this would probably be like, no more of that.
Yeah.
No more of anything.
I do have one question, though. What's the difference between the regular and the deluxe version? Does it say anywhere? I can't seem to...
I didn't see anything here that describe the differences, unless the deluxe is the one that has that one of them has like clear pieces.
Oh, maybe.
As you know, I guess like from when we saw Optimus in the hologram form.
Maybe
that's the deluxe, but I think that one looks worse than the other one.
Yeah, so I would rather the full thing.
If you look on the order pages, there's a bunch of features, and for the normal, it says interchangeable skin normal. And then on the deluxe, it says interchangeable skin normal and transparent. So I guess you get two skins for the deluxe version.
Okay.
That you can change in and out. But it looks like everything. And the normal comes with just the Matrix and the blaster gun, and the deluxe comes with the display base, the extra skin, the transparent skin. And I guess that's it. The globe hologram, I thought that comes with every pre-order.
But yeah, that's maybe a pre-order for regardless. But, well, Charles, are you going to get this to go next to Unicron?
I mean, this is just as tall as Unicron, but like, what, three times the price?
He's awesome.
Yeah, that's true. It is metal. It'll probably fall through my basement floor. It's so heavy. I don't think this is in my price range. This is not a this is not an impulse buy. I mean, it's a very cool idea. I just wonder where this market is for these ultra expensive figures. I mean,
it is not in the circles that we travel in.
I want to meet them, though. I want to meet some of these buyers of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are listening to this and you are one that gets these expensive statues, let us know. We'd like to talk to you on the show.
Like, my comic book store sells these statues that are like thousands of dollars, and they're always selling. They're always going in and out of the store. And I'm like, there's multiple people in the city that buy this stuff. Like, they're like, yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, I guess one difference here, I'm looking at it, it looks like the deluxe version always gets the globe hologram, even if you're outside the pre-order window. So the normal version gets the globe hologram only if you pre-order it before August 31st. But for the deluxe version, even if you wait until after August 31st, you still get the globe hologram. But there's only 500 pieces of the deluxe version. So
yeah,
I don't know how many people, if you're already on board for this, I don't think you're waiting to not pre-order it and pay an extra $200.
No. Essentially, it's an extra $400 because you get the rebate.
Oh yeah, pre-order. I mean that's what I meant. You're right. You're paying extra on top of the original price. Yeah, the normal price and the rebate. So yeah, you're right. So, but I guess if you've got money to burn, I guess you don't care. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, that is what I got, Dr. Pants. But yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard or not, but Transformers and Back to the Future are getting a crossover, and we're getting the figure. Is it gigawatt or gigawatt? I'm going to ask that right away.
Back to the Future canon is gigawatt.
Yeah.
I always thought it was a made-up unit. I didn't think they were just mispronouncing giga. Everything I know is wrong. But anyway, they officially announced the figure. It's, of course, the DeLorean transforming into a robot, and it looks like it comes with pieces to make it look like the DeLorean from movie one, where it's got the hook that hit the power line, and it can do the wheels flipping down with the Mr. Fusion in the back. And when it transforms into robot mode, it's got the flux capacitor in the chest. It's got the, what do you call it? It's the time thing. Did it have a name? I haven't watched the movie in a long time.
Wait, what thing? The time display?
It's got the dates and the time
circuits.
This one tells you where you are. This one tells you where you're going. This one tells you where you've been.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
No, it's where you. Yeah. Where you were, where you are, where you're going, I think.
Thank you.
It's the time circuits.
Time circuits. That's it. Yep.
Yes. It looks like in the DeLorean mode, the doors flip open, which if you're going to do the DeLorean, it better have the doors flip open. Otherwise, what's the point? You guys have talked about this already, haven't you? Or not? Yes. On the official podcast?
We did it. We did a special news update. Yeah.
Okay. So I saw this and I'm super excited for it because I'm a big Back to the Future fan, as probably a lot of us are, being children of the 80s or growing up around that time. It looks like it's a repaint / a remold of the Siege Sideswipe figure. Is that what it looks like to everybody else? I don't know if they officially said that or not.
That's right. It is. Yeah. It's just a remold. It's a heavy remold.
They didn't say it, but if you look at it in robot mode, it's clear.
Yeah. And I get why they did it, but I have a couple of problems in that, like, while the chest has all that cool detail, it looks really wide. And also, the DeLorean mode looks awesome with all the little details in the back they did and whatnot, but the robot mode looks really plain. Because there's all this detail in the shin, it looks like there's flux capacitors in the shins and they're not painted. So, I feel like they missed an opportunity here to really make it look cool if they're going to do like this big exclusive figure, but...
These are all kind of opportunistic remolds. Like this is the same thing that happened with Ectotron last year. Like if you look at Ectotron's robot mode, it's pretty plain, but the transformation is very simple, but the Ecto One vehicle mode is pretty spot on. But the robot mode is kind of just the Ecto One is hanging off his back, with some slight, tweaks on the arms and legs.
This is true. I feel like when you look at Ectotron, there's at least a little bit more detail because the chest is kind of differently colored and there's a little bit more color in the legs. Mm-hmm. And also, Ectotron was they basically used a skeleton from the Combiner Wars Hotspot and Onslaught mold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I could not tell that by looking at this. This one, it looks like Sideswipe with just a different.
Right.
And you're right. It is opportunistic, but it went up for pre-order and I know there were issues with that. So, but
you could say that's a word for it.
I don't want to say other things right now because I'm sure it's all been said before, but, I'll still go around and ask you guys, what you think about it real quick here. Jeremy.
Well, you don't want to say, but I'll say that scalpers use bots to get all of the pre-orders within a matter of minutes. And I've cooled off a little bit, but I was very pissed on Thursday after, like, you know, everyone was reloading the page constantly and then they were gone. But the figure itself, I like, and like looking at it with my side swipe, I'm the chest, like you can see in order to get the flux capacitor and all that stuff on the chest, they had to make it bigger. And where side swipe has a piece flip out that connects to his waist in robot mode, like that entire section, like now it's just the hood of the car will probably clip there. But I'm wondering what happens. Like, you obviously don't see that, the flux capacitor and stuff in the vehicle mode. So is that just a panel that comes off that we're gonna have to keep up with, or does it flip around, or what?
It looks like it would flip around because the when it's in the car mode, like that same spot on the chest looks like it's completely solid and meshes in.
Right.
So I'm wondering if it just flips around, but I'm having trouble seeing a hinge or something on it.
Well, it looks in the middle like there might be a little a hinge. But I'd never noticed the flux capacitors in the shins until you mentioned it. So, yeah, I mean, they're putting all this extra useless paint on the regular figures. Yet something like this where you probably have a little bit bigger budget and it's obviously going to get more exposure. This is where you cheap out on the paint. I have to agree with you there.
They could have saved all that silver and black paint instead of smudging all the Siege figures. They could have used it on this.
Right. But, you know, how many people, when they get it, they're going to want to just get some, you know, some paint that'll make it look more like shiny stainless steel and just repaint it. But the figure itself, I love it. I love that you can make it the movie one or the movie two car. It's a great crossover. So I'm excited to October when we can actually buy it. And if you see it on eBay, please don't buy it.
Because there were people who definitely did buy that order on there too, well, wasn't there?
I mean, it's on eBay now for minimum 800? Of like $600. Yeah. And just let those scalpers just sit on them.
So. Terrible people. Charles, what about you?
Agree. Those are terrible people. Yeah, I mean, I was pretty excited for this figure, and then my excitement was slightly diminished by not being able to get one. But yeah, I will wait till October and get one from Hasbro Pulse when they show up there. I felt the thing that kind of hurt was Hasbro's social media all proclaiming, yeah, it's sold out, yay, sold out. And everyone was like, why are you like trumpeting this like it's a celebration? You guys screwed up this launch so badly and no one who actually wants one can get one, so you shouldn't be like celebrating the fact that you sold out. It's artificial scarcity at its finest. I mean, there's no reason to limit this this pre-order other than to, you know, to build more hype for your artificial scarcity. So just make enough that everyone can get one. And, you know, I don't even know why they're bothering to make us wait another 3 months till October. Just open the pre-orders now and ship them in October. Like, you know, the demand's here now. Yeah. Just let us put our orders in now.
Right. And it's not like, from what I've saw on eBay, everything says like, we'll ship it once we receive it in October. So these people aren't even getting it early. If they are, it's like a week or two.
Yep.
Yeah. And, finally, Daryl, we have you to thank for this figure. This was your brainchild. So what do you have to say about this?
So am I being blamed for the absolute shit release of this thing?
The fact that the figure exists. I would never blame you for that.
Oh, okay.
No, I would.
Okay, cool. Right. I think all the poor layout of this and you know, the release of it, all of that aside, the figure is cool. The line itself is cool. I'm all for this line continuing. Bring on Kit, A-Team Van, all these other movie properties and TV properties. It's fantastic. I love it. Bring them on. The stuff about like the look of the vehicle and the look of the character and stuff like that. The example of Ectotron is the perfect one, where Toy Hacks did a sticker sheet for it and it looks phenomenal. So Toy Hacks is probably going to step up and just rock one out for this as well. So I expect that the gross ass windshield is going to get covered and do like a cell shaded look or something like that on this guy, and it'll just look amazing. Other than that, I mean, this is going to be great. Do I want one out of 1,985 copies of the numbered version? Sure. That'd be nice. Am I going to pay $700 for one? Hell no. I'll just buy one of the regular ones when they show up. I think they probably chose a poor partner with Walmart. That's a given, but the figure itself is cool. I think the choice to remodel out of Sideswipe was great. It really does look really good. So I'm excited about getting it, regardless of whether or not it's a numbered version or not.
Cool. And you know what? I wasn't even thinking about Toy Hacks doing a sticker sheet, but now that you bring that up, I would actually totally get one of these and get the Toy Hacks sticker sheet, because then it would look really, really good. Because my only complaint with the robot mode is really just that it looks kind of plain. So, yeah. That's a really good point. I think you've just sold me on it. So thanks.
There you go. It's not a bad, I mean, for $30, right? It's a really cool thing. And plus, I mean, I haven't even opened my Ectotron. I just love the way it looks in its box. Oh, yeah. So personally, I'd probably just get one of these just to have in a box, just to have sitting on the shelf. But it makes a great gift for people who are into, you know, Back to Future or 80s nostalgia too. So, I mean, for $30, you pick up a couple of them and you can give them away to friends as you know, as gifts and stuff. People who know you're into Transformers and stuff like that. And you can give them away as gifts to kids and stuff. Yeah, these are great gifts, because you'll get the parent back into it too. And they'll be like, oh, I'm going to go fuck around with this toy that you just gave my kid. All right, cool. And it's a DeLorean. Awesome. And turns into a robot. This is great. So, yeah, these kind of things are always just really cool. And, they could be repurposed and used as all different kinds of cool stuff. So I'm all for this line. Keep them coming.
Excellent. Charles, what do you have for this week?
All right. Just a little quick note about Furai model kit. So I have to represent the statue since Jeremy says I missed one. The Furai IDW Optimus Prime model kit is getting another version, and this is a clear, like translucent version, which looks very cool. It's the Optimus Prime clear version, and this looks very cool. It's we've only got like one picture from Flame Toys social media, but it looks really interesting. And I just thought that was a, you know, something I could quickly mention. I know a lot as Jeremy and Daryl, I think you guys already have the Optimus Prime Furai model kits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you think of this clear version?
We built them.
Yes. You're doing better than me. Yes.
I think this looks really cool.
Is this worth a double dip?
I mean, if you're really into model kits, I would say so, but not enough for me.
No. At no point does Prime become translucent. I mean, if they did them dead, then I'd be all over it. Of course. Why not?
If you have a lighted display it might be the version to get. It would probably look really cool with backlighting.
Yeah, maybe.
Yep.
I mean, Ghost Optimus. Put him next to Rodimus.
Dr. Pants, did you get the Farai Optimus Prime model kit, or are you interested in this one?
I have the attack mode or attack version, the first one that came out, not the IDW version. I do want to get one of the IDW ones, but I haven't yet. This kind of looks cool, but I do a lot of model building. I'm big into the Gundam model kits, and I'm just going to say that the fact that this is clear plastic has turned me off completely, because clear plastic is the bane of my existence.
Okay.
I've built two clear model kits, and the entire time everything feels really brittle, and trying to hide the marks where you cut it off the runner, it takes so much time and so much effort to clean them up that I don't know that it's worth it unless you're really looking to do a really cool display with it. But that's just me. I think if I'm going to get the IDW version, I'm going to do the regular, or I might go for the Ultra Magnus one they released. I like both those, but the clear one, it's got a cool presence, kind of. And I agree that if you did a light up display, it would look really, really cool. But I'm going to steer clear of this one.
Okay, fair enough. All right, my other topic, and this is the one that I thought was really interesting, is another third-party Bumblebee figure. This is from the Bumblebee movie, and this comes from Transcraft, which is apparently a relatively new third-party company. And this is they're not being coy with the name. It's just TC-02 Bumblebee Movie Bumblebee. So trademarks be damned. but this looks like a very movie accurate Bumblebee that does transform and is very well articulated, has lots of accessories, has its gun, has a saw, the chainsaw blade that he had, his face mask, or is that a face mask, his battle mask. He's very posable and transforms. Did I mention he transforms too? And he's got weathering. So this is weathering and battle damage done right. Not like the Siege figures, War for Cybertron Siege figures. It just looks like a really interesting, really good Bumblebee design. And I'm surprised at so much effort being put into third party Bumblebee movie designs, but this looks really cool. I don't think we have a price on this yet, but I imagine this might be a pretty penny. It looks very, you know, very detailed, very well done, very expensive. Daryl, what do you think of this movie Bumblebee figure?
I think it looks really good. The fact that it is weathered and it is, you know, does look like it's done properly is a big plus. The figure and the character in that movie was not a brand new Bumblebee. You know, it was beat up, and, you know, so make it look like it. That's, you know, that's a definite plus. It definitely looks really, really good from as regards to the Bumblebee movie. I don't know whether I'd be interested in it or not. There are so many Bumblebees out there, but it really does look really good. The Bumblebee alt mode is particularly cool looking too. But even if this third party company, you can tell with looking at that alt mode, they're also having some issues with matching that yellow paint.
Mm.
Yellow paint, man, it's tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it looks awesome.
Cool. Dr. Pants, what do you think of this guy?
I really, really like this. I love the design of Bumblebee in the Bumblebee movie. It was really, really cool. And I've really liked seeing all these third party companies do this. I haven't picked one up yet. I'm kind of waiting to see how they turn out because they keep getting cranked out there, but I might pick one up. This one, maybe. I like the proportions. It looks really, really cool. That weathering looks good. The accessories are kind of awesome. I love that battle mask. That looks really, really good. And the alt mode, well, yeah, the yellow paint doesn't quite match in some spots, I can forgive it because the weathering does look good on it, and the alt mode itself just looks kind of cool. Depending on the price and just how it does, I'd be considering picking that up.
All right. And Jeremy, what do you think?
I think the robot mode looks really good. I like it, like how poseable it is. However, I can't agree with you guys on the alt mode. I think the weathering just, I don't know, it looks really bad to me. And I mean, particularly the panels, like Daryl said, where you can tell the yellow paint is not matching, but even on just the other parts, it looks more dirty than weathered. Like weathering, I would expect to see more kind of rust colors, and this just looks, I don't know, it looks like it's just dirty, and I don't know, it just doesn't look really good to me. And then in the back, you have these two round things that I'm guessing are part of the transformation, but it's just, I expect the VW Bug to be more smooth in the curve on the top. So, I mean, I would say if you get it, it's going to be in robot mode most of the time anyway, but the alt mode, I see a lot of problems with.
All right, fair enough. Okay, that's my toy topic, so that'll finish up the toy section, and we will move on to trips to the store. This is where we show off some of the cool stuff we got this week. You can see this as a video we put up on YouTube, so you can see everything we got in beautiful high definition. And we'll put the audio right here in the podcast so you can keep listening and listen to us describe everything in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
And we're going to talk about stuff we got this week. Although for me personally, not a lot of stuff, nothing pretty much. I got this shirt, but I got it a while ago. This is my Blaster Transmission shirt. Again, you can get this at TeePublic, our TeePublic store, transmissionspodcast.com/shop. It's pretty cool. I see Dr. Pants and Jeremy are also sporting transmission shirts. So those are nice. Daryl is out of bed, so that's good. But that is not a transmission shirt. All right. I got nothing, but I'm going to throw it over to Daryl. What do you got this week?
All right. Going first. Oh, this is a unfamiliar territory for me. I also have nothing new this week, but I'm going to show off a couple older figures that I'm pretty sure I've showed off before.
Metroplex.
But he's around here. This is a figure that I had and repro labeled up because his labels were shit and I wanted to make him look nice. Ooh. So this is G1 Getaway.
Ooh.
And he's a really nice looking figure. He is complete. He's got his little buddy there on the back. Never remember his name, but yeah, his little friend,
Power
his little
Master, guy. Power Master. And I don't know his name, but he is a Power Master.
He's a Power Master. Yes, that's right. So when I first bought him, his stickers were atrocious, and I re-stickered him up, and he looks really, really good now. And of course, Getaway being a very white figure, yellow is like crazy, but luckily enough for me, this guy is still pretty crispy white, and yeah, so. A new set of stickers can really make a old G1 figure pop. Next up on the old list is a figure that I'm actually still looking to complete. And I have a little running list of things I want to get, but I'm like really close to being there. So this is G1. What is this?
Roadbuster.
I just spaced on his name. Roadbuster. I was going to call him Road Handler. I'm like, no, this isn't Road Handler. Roadbuster. And he's got so many weapons and guns and little things hanging off of him. He's got a lot of parts. And one of those parts, one of the more expensive parts, not in this hand, Daryl, the other hand, is a little satellite dish or radar dish. No, it doesn't want to come out of his hand right now, but see if I can get it out here.
Watch as Daryl snaps a figure.
I break a G1 figure, yeah. Okay, so this is the gun, but as you can see on the end there, there's a little radar dish. And that little radar dish is an actual part that comes off. I'm not going to try. But yeah, so anyway, it's tiny and very, very lost. So this is one of those things that you kind of got to pay big money for if you're going to go all out and complete a G1 figure. Another part that I don't have for this guy is a radar dish. And I'd lost the gun, fell off. But that goes on the back of his little backpack here. And I do not have it because essentially it just looks like a green piece of plastic. Just a little twig, really. And a lot of parents would assume it's just some, you know, piece of garbage, you know, that fell off of something when they were, you know, somebody was playing with something. So a lot of them got thrown away because they really didn't look like anything. So when you find one of those, it's worth a fortune. But other than that, I'm really getting close to finishing this guy. He does need a missile. He should have 5 missiles for his blaster up top or his cannon. Really, I'm only looking for 1 because then I got to put 4 in a bag somewhere and keep them. But yeah. Other than that, he's pretty complete. Have you
done Ripper labels on
and I haven't. I might. I did rebuild one of his legs at one point because I got the original body for him had a really bum leg, so I just rebuilt him off of a junker. But yeah, he probably would do well with a whole set of Ripper labels on him. So yeah, you know what? I might Ripper label him up when I'm all said and done. Yeah, yeah. He's pretty awesome. One of those figures that a G1 collector. Is kind of you need to have in your collection.
Nice
road handler, road buster.
Cool.
And for the record, Dinobot Maximize in the chat is saying that the Power Master's Rev.
Oh,
yeah, that makes sense.
Glad somebody knew.
All right, Dr. Pants, show off what you got. Show us what you got.
So it's been like a month since I've been on the podcast and I haven't really gotten anything new since. I've been having trouble finding stuff, but because I'm relatively new to the podcast, I have a whole lot of stuff in the backlog that I can just bring out whenever. So I've got something new and something old. My something new, I got him around Christmas, and this is Iron Factory's Nightmare Commander.
Mm. Oh, cool.
I am a big, big fan of, you know, Power Master Primes or Super Primes. And I love that Nemesis Prime color scheme on him. He's really, really cool. He's pretty big for a legend scale figure because of everything on him. And also, he's got a cape. Oh. And that's just ridiculous. I love that. He's one of my desk bots. He sits here next to me while I work because he's just so cool and so impressive. But going on the theme of kind of super primes and powered up primes, I'm going to bring out one of my favorite figures. And this is RID 2001. Optimus Prime. I love this figure so much.
I think Jeremy's going to come through the screen and hug you now. You just
a Nemesis Prime and then the best Prime next to G1.
And I got this guy about a year or so ago because I lost my old one somewhere in my parents' attic. I was missing pieces and everything, so I had to re-get him. And the funny thing about this is somebody was selling it in the box complete for like $40.
Whoa.
And so I snagged it, and like some people are gonna be upset I opened it, but I had to because he's just so much fun to play with. The best part is not only did I get this for $40, they threw in a special bonus. I got a Blu-ray copy of Revenge of the Fallen.
It's like they were just trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, you know how to bargain. Well done.
How are the tires on that?
Like, none of them are cracked. They're in really, really good shape. The electronics work, but sadly he has no batteries in him right now. I have to get new ones, but
that's okay.
Yeah, no,
do you have the Ultra Magnus?
I don't, and I kind of want to get one, but at the same time, I've heard Jeremy talk so much crap on that figure that I don't know if I
want
to.
If you want, I could go over and get my gallon Ziploc bag that has my Ultra Magnus.
See, the Ultra Magnus looks like shit, but combined with the Prime is just a beautiful figure.
Then maybe I'll continue the search then at some point.
And you can get them for cheap because they're so shitty.
I like the look of the magnet. It's just the transformation. It is just like a million pieces.
No, the Magnus figure does look cool. And I love the Super Prime. Or is it Omega Prime? Is that what it is combined?
Omega Prime.
Mm. Omega Prime.
I'd love to have that. Yeah. But
what you have now is Super Prime, I think. And then without all the armor stuff, it's just regular.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. See, I'm learning all this stuff tonight. So many things. But, now maybe I'll look for the Ultra Magnus at some point to put him with the rest of the big primes I've got somewhere.
Got the
UK nice
DVDs.
Oh, lucky, nice.
Yeah.
But that's all I've got to show off this week.
All right, Jeremy, we're going to end it with you, the birthday boy.
Yep, I have one thing to show off. It was a birthday present for my wife and son. I left. Most of the pieces are actually downstairs, but got Earthrise Astro Train.
Nice.
Which the light's not picking up very well. I have transformed it into the shuttle mode and back a couple times. I've been unable to get it into the train mode. I'm not sure if I'm doing something wrong. I haven't looked at the directions yet, but it was just...
That's what you did wrong.
Well, you're supposed to try to do it without looking at the directions.
I'll give you a hint that you wouldn't normally figure out. The front of the train, the part that's like the cow catcher, it actually has to click down.
Yeah, I found that out by accident.
Oh, okay.
But it's just the front of the train. It doesn't pop together and stay.
Oh.
Like, it's like something's pushing it out.
Because my problem was I didn't realize the cow catcher clicked down on it, but...
I'll keep working at it and see, but otherwise I like it. It's a good figure. The shuttle mode looks really good. I like that you have that extra kind of trailer for the train mode, but it's the launch pad for the shuttle. I think that looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And
it connects to the MicroMaster base stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to Optimus Prime's trailer, which like the door has a piece. Like the door of the trailer has a piece that comes out, his shield that also has a connector. But it's cool. I really like it. The only Astro Train I've had was I think the Classics. So, it's another good figure. I'm very happy with it. So that's nice. All I got this week.
It's a good figure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, well, that'll do it for Trips to the Store.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right, we're back from our Trips to the Store, and let's move on to convention news.
All right, in convention news this week, we have news from San Diego Comic-Con for this year, Comic-Con at Home. And they have announced their online exhibit hall for July 22nd through 26th, 2020. And this will be where you can go to a virtual exhibit hall and get exclusive things. And you'll find promotional links. And all they say is a whole lot more. I would think there will be links to maybe virtual panels and stuff. If you think about what you would see on a convention floor, apparently they're trying to replicate it. There's going to be also an artist alley, and they have a downloadable map for a virtual Comic-Con. But anyway, booth 3213 is where you'll find Hasbro. So... not sure exactly what they're going to have, since we figure Gigawatt was probably their Comic-Con exclusive, but If they have any exclusive Transformers there, we'll be reporting on it. But just keep your calendar marked down for that weekend, July 22nd through 26th, and just check it out and see what they got. So that is our convention news.
I find it very weird that they put a map of like a physical space for a virtual Comic-Con.
I know. With lobbies. And I imagine this is just the map of the San Diego Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
Do we just have to get like a subscription to Second Life or something like that to walk around?
I don't know. That's a name maybe. I haven't heard in a long time, a very long time. But it looks like here in this thing, there's a Hasbro booth and then there's a Pulse booth right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. And that's interesting. And then like IDW there's has a big spot.
Yeah.
Bluefin is right across from Pulse as well.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'm curious, like you said, I'm curious how you're supposed to be able to navigate this this thing.
I'm sure we'll find out more between now and then.
Everyone has to get a VR headset and go into the virtual Comic-Con.
If it was set up like that and it was actually run well and you could do stuff like that and actually buy things, I'd be in for that.
Mm-hmm. Even without a VR headset, if it was just like an FPS type environment, you know, just use your arrow keys and your mouse to go around like you would be in, you know, a video game.
Or do it like Google Earth or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you click on the Hasbro booth and it's like, you are in a queue to enter the Hasbro booth. You are 7,455th in we're line.
Like, sorry, the line just ended right as you were about to. So
please stand here in line to reserve your place. Fuck this virtual convention. This is no good.
Yeah,
the real convention experience.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, it looks like it will be interesting. So we'll have news on whatever Hasbro announces that they're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
No news yet on exclusives, eh? Like actual exclusives, like figures and stuff like that.
Well, no, I mean that's what we figured that Gigawatt was going to be. But obviously it's not.
Yeah. So. But there's still things that you assume that they you'll be able to buy during the Comic-Con, right?
Maybe there'll be a Netflix like Netflix series special version of something that we weren't expecting.
I guess. There's no Netflix Prime out yet, right?
No.
No.
We know that he's in the show.
Yeah. It could have been, could it have been any of the Generation Selects they just announced? Were they?
Could have been.
And isn't there stuff going around about a Grease Pit also? Figure?
Yeah.
That got leaked? Because maybe that would have been it.
Could be.
Yeah. Did we talk about that last week? I think we did.
I think so.
I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Maybe.
You talked about Centurion, Tiger Track, and Rotor Storm. I don't remember if you guys said about Grease Pit or not.
But. Oh yeah, we didn't talk about Grease Pit because we did the whole the Fan First Friday last week.
Right, that's right. Huh.
Anyway,
yeah, virtual convention's coming.
It will be interesting.
All right, let's finish up the show with feedback. And we have a voicemail from friend of the show, John 4X Levengood.
Hey guys, John 4X Levengood here again. So in the latest episode, you guys mentioned that you'd like to hear what some of our thoughts or some crossovers might be. And you guys have mentioned the Kit from Knight Rider and the 18 Ben, which are both, I think, would be great great crossover vehicles. My personal thought is it's from a little older movie, Smokey and the Bandit. I would love to see the Trans Am and the Semi done up as Transformers. I think that'd be really great. I think it'd be kind of funny to see the Trans Am transform and its head have the cowboy hat and the stash of Burt Reynolds, and the truck have accessories like the cans of beer that they were hauling in the first movie and the elephant they were hauling in the second movie. I think those would be two hilarious accessories to have with them as well. Anyhow, you guys have a good one, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thanks, John, for that feedback. Any other crossovers you're interested in, Daryl?
Well, I mean, we were talking about it last week, but I think that the that piece of art that we kind of uncovered from artist Darren Rawlings, mm-hmm. and I tweeted it out, and it's definitely one that shows off an awful lot of different possibilities for this. You've got Bigfoot, the monster truck becoming a Transformer. The Gran Torino car from Starsky and Hutch, the Scooby-Doo mystery machine, the Dukes of Hazzard, General Lee, what's it's
that what the one is called
from well, there are issues right now in there, today's day and age.
There are issues with it regardless.
Yeah. I mean, the really easy one they could do right away would be Herbie the Love Bug. Oh, yeah. That's pretty simple.
Right. But you have to work with Disney and Volkswagen.
It's true. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, A-Team van, and Kit, there's, I mean, this artist has got all kinds of these designs. He's got the Partridge Family van, in a robot form. What is this? The Speed Racers Mach 5 turning into some samurai looking thing. That'd be cool. Mm. The Turtle Van Party Wagon. The Pacer from Wayne's World. There's an awful lot of these here. And, I mean, there's no shortage of famous movie vehicles or TV show vehicles, yeah. Right?
So, I mean, they already kind of did it a couple years ago, but Tron Light Cycle would be something
for sure, man. I'm into that. There's a series of Hot Wheels called I think it was like Entertainment Series or something like that, but basically they made the TV and movie cars, and all you got to do is look up that series of Hot Wheels and you're like, yeah, that could be a Transformer. That is definitely a Transformer already. And yeah, that's a perfect place to look for inspiration for this thing.
That's a Padlin. That's a Padlin. Better believe that's a Padlin. Yeah, but yeah, I think John's idea with the Smokey and the Bandit vehicles, that's cool too. Although I have to go back and watch Smokey and the Bandit. I haven't seen that in a while.
I've never seen
it. Refresh my memory. Yeah.
I want to point out about the Smokey and the Bandit one. I hope that John is reading Transformers versus Terminator. I'm just going to put that out there, John. Make sure you're reading that.
All right. Dr. Pants, you weren't on the show last week, so any other crossover ideas that crossed your mind that we haven't discussed yet?
There's only one I've come up with, and it's a little far-fetched, but given that Siege and Earthrise have given us the weaponizers and everything, I don't want to see like a vehicle crossover, but I want to see Transformers crossed with Centurions from the 80s. The cartoon where the guys like got the different like vehicle like armor pieces. Uh-huh. I love that show as a kid, and I would love to see them like combined with Transformers that break apart into pieces but still transform and everything. It's never gonna happen, but God, I love that show so much as a kid, and I want to see it come back really badly.
Well, at this point, maybe Hasbro's already got the rights to that toy line. So maybe, I don't know.
Maybe. And give me a comic series to go along with it. I would eat that up.
Jeremy, any further thoughts from you? Any new crossovers that struck your mind?
No new ones. Just if I get an A-Team van and a Knight Rider, I'll be happy.
You'll be happy. Yeah, me too. And give us an LED on the kit car with the woo woo.
Oh yeah. Woo-woo. I saw someone at Starbucks the other day. I was picking up a drink and they had a mask with the three red lines. I was like, "Is that Kit?" And he's like, "You're the first person that got that." Of course I am.
Nice.
Oh, here's a good one. Battlestar Galactica Cylons, the 80s or the 70s Cylons, not the new ones.
I mean, isn't that essentially the Centurion drone head sculpt?
It's similar, yeah, but the vehicle mode is those flying saucer shaped ships.
Mm.
That could be it. Or you could do the human ships. They're essentially tetrajets that the human resistance and the Galactica fighter pilots flew.
I've seen a really awesome design from Alex Milne turning a 89 Batmobile into a robot. That would be badass.
Mm.
Yeah, that's another one that's probably IP rights hell to get that done with DC and
mm-hmm.
WB and everybody.
What about Turbo Teen? Can we get a Turbo Teen Transformer?
I was going to jokingly suggest that earlier.
All right, I think we should shut this down before we get too crazy. All right, everyone. I think that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
I'll do this now for you, Charles.
I'm sure you've got more waiting.
Yeah.
Just such a waste.
Coming in as a duly appointed supporter of the Transmissions Podcast. Thank you, Christopher.
You want to try that again? Yeah. I think Christopher deserves a proper welcome. Not one you stumble through, drunk bastard.
He's just been celebrating.
It's a holiday weekend. Give me a break.